That's good. Hallelujah! God is good all the time. Freedom. God is calling his people to freedom. But it takes cooperation to be free. Amen? We know that the world is in a transitional battle. Amen? And in this transitional battle, there's war, there's famines, there's despair, there's pestilence, there's chemical warfare. The drugs that they've released on the streets are really not drugs. It's biological warfare, chemical biological warfare. Totally destroying minds. Believe me, when I was in the drug world, everything was tested. And what we searched for was the highest quality of whatever it was. And the purest quality. Today, they just take anything from underneath the kitchen sink and call it cocaine. They call it meth. They call it this. They call it that. They even call stuff that they're making fentanyl. Some of it's not even real. They label it those things. But it's a biological, chemical warfare that has been released by governments, by the deep state, to destroy people, to kill them. It's a genocide operation. They're all trying to kill and reduce the population. That's behind it all is the Antichrist regime. It's a global operation. But right now, God's kingdom. This is the battle. There's a battle over kingdoms. But the battle is over government. Those who've had control for the last 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years, ever since Adam was deceived. Then the fallen angels came into the earth, put on flesh, went into women, produced offsprings. But see, the world doesn't know these things. They're blinded to them. Until you're truly born again in the Spirit and really desire to know the truth, you won't get it. You know, we are born with that. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Amen? And only God can truly answer that. He answers it through his word, through his presence, through experience with him, through his voice. One of the things that the world is looking for is they're still searching. People are searching for identity. The problem is that the enemy releases false identities. Oh, I want to be a rock star when I grow up. I mean, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a drug dealer when I grew up. I mean, I grew up in a gang and neighborhood and all kinds. I grew up in a crazy Italian family. Everything was about money. Once you get the money, you get the power, then you got everything. But that was nothing but a lie. And we change who I want to be. And we all did that. Well, I want to be like this person. I want to be like that person. I want to be a basketball star or a football player or tennis, whatever it is. We wanted to be like somebody that was recognized. That was called looking for identity. Never finding our own identity. Trying to take someone else's. But your identity is to be in Christ. You identify yourself with Christ Jesus. That's who your true identity is. You are an offspring of God Almighty. Until the reality of who you are and making what is unseen to become seen becomes so realistic to you, you'll easily be deceived. You'll be manipulated. You'll live a roller coaster life of up and down. You'll be tossed to and fro by doctrines, by what people say, by what this, never being able to be led by the Spirit of God. You'll go into many battles But we are in a spiritual battle right now. But we have a spiritual battle in a physical realm. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 1, this explains everything. If people could interpret by the Spirit of God, now remember, the Word of God is past, present, and future. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now, these are all symbolic, but this is also representation. Everybody knows that there's 12 constellations. The constellations are the message of Jesus Christ. Coming as a virgin, dying on the cross, and returning as a king. All 12 constellations are nothing but images in the heavenlies, in the skies, of the message of Jesus Christ. Only God could put that there. Amen? Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Let's speak it together. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Those stars represent angels, fallen angels. So you have Gabriel, you have Michael, and you had Lucifer, which were the 3 head angels there. They were the anointed. And they all had, underneath them was a third of the rest of the angels. So they were known as archangels. They were commanders. And so it says here that a third of them were removed and thrown to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne. In other words, he came to establish eternal government. Does everybody understand that? The kingdom of God is the eternal government of God Almighty. Jesus came to establish the eternal government on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 6. Then a woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that she should feed her, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. Now again, you got to understand that this is past, present, and future. There are certain events in this that haven't happened yet, but will. Now we know it talks about, this is about Jesus coming into the world, amen? The woman with childbearing, and the enemy's been trying to kill the child of her sins. And who's the child? Jesus. In verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Now he's giving you another scenario. He's explaining more what happened. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. We've discussed some of this before. And so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God. The kingdom represents a government. And the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death, to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now he's persecuted. Now the woman represents Israel. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, times and half time, which is another 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened up its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, the Christ came to establish the eternal government. The word, the number 12, when it said 12 garlands, the number 12 is a prophetic number that means government. It means what? Government. 12 means government. Christ had come to establish the eternal government on earth, expose the enemy forces of evil, and recruit warriors. Why? To dismantle the Antichrist regimes by empowering his warriors with the eternal presence and power of truth of God Almighty. In other words, the anointing, the Christ, the Christ. So again, I'm going to say this again. Christ came to establish the eternal government on earth, to expose the enemy forces of evil, the third thing is to recruit warriors, and the fourth thing is to dismantle the Antichrist regimes. And the fifth thing is he was going to empower them with the anointing. Amen? Which is the eternal presence and power of God Almighty in truth. So, again, Jesus came to what? Establish a government? To expose enemies of forces of evil, to recruit warriors, to dismantle the Antichrist regime, and to empower his warriors with the Holy Spirit or the anointing. That's why he came. Amen? Does everybody understand this? To establish his what? His government. Why? Because it had been lost, it had been taken, it had been stolen. Ephesians 6. That's what you see at war right now on the earth. It is a battle between the kingdom or the government of the Antichrist and the government of Christ, the eternal government of Christ. What side do you want to be on? Because it's happening, amen, there's overthrowing. Ephesians 6:10. Let's speak it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What's the power of his might? The Christ, the anointing. Amen? Put on the whole armor of God. What's the whole armor of God? The whole armor of God means you're a warrior. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this is because it's a spiritual battle. There's spiritual armor. Amen? We are battling a spiritual battle, a spiritual realm in a physical place. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, here he tells you, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. How about seats and positions of the political and government seats and positions? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, and he explains about getting dressed with the full armor of God. Again, this is a spiritual battle in a physical world. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, which means what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means consistent. because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour or deceive. Amen. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, or his eternal government, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Alert and consistent with humility, but be bold in the Spirit as a pursuer of the enemies of God, to assist in the establishing of the eternal government on earth. We've been called to assist in the eternal government, in establishing the kingdom on earth. You've been invited. You've been called to. Does everybody get this? It's amazing that there's so many people that are not awake yet when they've been invited and called, because they're still caught up in the world. And God is trying to rescue people, especially at a time of this. Go to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. First of all, this is talking about Joshua. In this, the high priest, Joshua, he was the minister to the Lord. Amen? Does everybody understand this? And so in this, Satan always stands against you so you cannot worship God. He does everything he can to prevent you from worshiping God. Why? Because he knows the moment you start to worship God, you start pushing back the powers of darkness, and the presence of God starts to come. When the presence of God starts to come, he begins to come right in. He begins to saturate you. He begins to melt those scales that are still on the eyes. He begins to feel you. You begin to get another sense of reality. Because we've been living in the matrix for so long, we thought that this was the reality. But we've been lied to for so long that their true reality begins to be unfolded. Amen? And verse 2. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. It is not a brand plucked from the fire. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. How many of y'all know that we have filthy garments until we're cleansed by the blood? Amen? Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity. In other words, your curses. And I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. Now, what's the head represent? The mind, the thoughts. Amen? So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by him. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, now, remember, Joshua was a priest. That is the first office you fulfill is priesthood. If you can't fulfill the first office, you won't be able to fulfill the rest. And what's a priest do? Ministers to the Lord. That is the first office that you fulfill in the eternal government, in the kingdom. Priesthood. That's where you get your priestly garments. Amen. Remember, here was Joshua trying to worship the Lord, which he has been. And what happened? The angel shows up and says, look at. He rebuked Satan that kept preventing him from trying to worship God. He said, all right, let's take these filthy garments off. Let's get the right garments on. And let's get a new turban to clean. In other words, change you, cleanse you, so that you can access and get into the presence of God. Amen? And he said this, he said, verse 6, then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house. Now, this is a seat and position of authority, isn't it? Amen? It's a governmental seat. It's a position. Likewise, have charge over my courts. It's a seat and position of authority. And I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts means Lord of the army, because it's a military operation. Remember, he came to recruit warriors. I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbors under his vine and under his fig tree. Satan opposes your worship to God. You get new garments as priestly garments and a new way of thinking. You get cleansed from the worldliness. You get cleansed from what? Worldliness, the temporary ways, walking in his ways. There are available seats of positions in his eternal government. We are preparing for the Lord of the military to come and establish and complete the eternal government on earth as it is in heaven. That's what that scripture is about. Romans 12. So when you see all of this stuff, you hear about all these things going on and all these, think about all of the stuff that's happening. Wars, rumors of wars and everything else. It's nothing but a battle over God establishing his eternal government on earth. And he will. Romans 12, verse 1. Let's speak it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable. Amen. For to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind or your thoughts, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, we need to get brainwashed from the worldliness. Amen? We need to get our brains, all of our memory, everything washed out. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, all of those things. To what? We need transformed into eternal warriors serving in the eternal government of the kingdom of Christ Jesus. And John chapter 10. Verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and destroy. So if that's happening in your life, you know you got to open doors of the powers of darkness. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Oh, hallelujah. So the eternal government coming in and manifesting is come to bring us life and more abundantly. This is why Jesus came. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. There's the anointing, right? That's why he's called the Christ. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit drove him into battle, into the wilderness. When? When the anointing came on him. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the battle or into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. The Spirit drove Jesus into battle for 40 days, and he came out preaching the eternal kingdom message of his government to turn away from the worldly ways. Does everybody see that? Now look at verse 14. It says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" In other words, the eternal kingdom is here. Come and repent. Is everybody okay? And John 15, verse 18. "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, 'A servant is not greater than his master.' If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep your words. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." Wow. "If I had come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law, 'They hated me without a cause.'" See, so you got to understand something, that he chose you out of the world. To what? Be a part of the eternal government. You didn't choose it. You accepted the invitation. Amen? God chose you before you got to choose him. Galatians chapter 5, 16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or you desire. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law of sin and death. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which means drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God," or what he means is eternal life. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness," hallelujah, "gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Those that are filled with the Spirit, empowered by the anointing of Christ. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Walking in the Spirit means staying filled with the Spirit. In Romans chapter 14, 16. "Therefore, do not let your good be spoken as of evil. For the kingdom of God," which is the kingdom of God, means what? Eternal government. "Is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." In the what? Holy Spirit, meaning the anointing, the Christ. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for everything. Be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds or your thoughts through Christ Jesus. In other words, no fear. Anxiety, anxiousness is fear. He said, pray. Ask, put your request before the Lord. In other words, talk to the Father in heaven. Build a relationship. No fear, no anxiousness. Because the enemy loves to push. The devil leads. When there's a push, you can be sure it's the enemy. Unless God's pushing your way out of getting run over by a car or something. Matthew 6, 8. The disciples asked Jesus, how do they pray? In verse 8, he said, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need of before you ask Him, right? He said, in this manner, therefore pray, what does it say? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your what? Your kingdom come. He told them, pray for the eternal government to be established. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts or our sins as we forgive others. And do not lead us into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. You know, when you really begin to look at this prayer, he's exposing the enemy. He's saying, look, pray that the kingdom, the eternal government comes, that you don't be misled into by the powers of darkness, that you forgive, amen, so you can be forgiven, and pray that you'll be fed from him every day. Bring the government, thy kingdom, thy government come on earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah 9. Isaiah prophesied about the eternal government coming, the eternal kingdom. Isaiah 9:6, let's speak it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the army, the Lord of the military, will perform this. Amen? Hallelujah. A child, the Christ, has come. Well, he will come and establish his eternal government. He will be a king. Go to Revelation 19 and we'll close here. Verse 11. So as people celebrate the coming of the Lord, his birth, and other events, never lose sight why he came. Amen? He came to establish an eternal government. He came as a warrior. He came to recruit individuals, to become warriors and become priests and kings. In verse 11, 19, 11. Everybody there? Now I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. And he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who's that army? Us. Remember, before he comes on the earth, he will take us home first. And then we will return with him. Verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God, Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will come back as king. Remember, while everybody's celebrating so many things and things to that degree, remember, you know, it's a time and seasons. The enemy likes to play with emotions, likes to bring despair, likes to bring disappointment, things that we should have done, shouldn't have done, and did do, and so forth. Remember, training. You have been called to be a warrior for the eternal kingdom and for the eternal government. And we want to make it home with him so that we can return with him. Amen? As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, establishing the government. But there's training involved. There's suffering involved. And you must be willing to cooperate to be trained up. If any of you have ever been in the military, you know what it's like. I've been there. The first thing they try to do is dismantle you from where you came from. Why? Because you got to learn the new ways. The ways in the military. How they think, how they operate. Protocol. Order. Amen? Well, God's got a divine order. Although his kingdom is much stronger, it's eternal, and it's not fleshy. It's filled with the Spirit. It's different. What an opportunity we have. Amen? Don't let the enemy cause you to toss it or throw it away or exchange it for something that's worldly. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the impartation of your seed and even warning and be always at hand to us, knowing that you have called us to build an eternal government and your eternal kingdom with an eternal purpose for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.